Aubrey became almost distracted. If before his mind had been absorbed by one subject, how much more completely was it engrossed, now that the certainty of the monsters living again pressed upon his thoughts? His sister's attentions were now unheeded, and it was in the vain that she entreated him to explain to her what had caused his abrupt conduct. He only uttered a few words, and those terrified her. The more he thought, the more he was bewildered. His oath startled him. Was he then to allow this monster to roam, bearing ruin upon his breath, amidst all that he held dear, and not avert its progress? His very sister might have been touched by him, but even if he were to break his oath and disclose his suspicions, who would believe him? He thought of employing his own hand to free the world from such a wretch, but death, he remembered, had been already mocked. For days he remained in this state, shut up in his room. He saw no one, and eat only when his sister came, who, with eyes streaming with tears, besought him, for her sake, to support nature. At last, no longer capable of bearing stillness and solitude, he left his house, roamed from street to street, anxious to fly that image which haunted him. His dress became neglected, and he wandered, as often exposed to the noonday sun as to the midnight damps. He was no longer to be recognized. At first he returned with the evening to the house, but at last he lay down to rest whenever fatigue overtook him. His sister, anxious for his safety, employed people to follow him, but they were soon distanced by him who fled from a pursuer swifter than any from thought. His conduct, however, suddenly changed. Struck with the idea that he left, by his absence, the whole of his friends, with a fiend amongst them, of whose presence they were unconscious, he determined to enter again into society, and watched him closely, anxious to forewarn, in spite of his oath, all of whom Lord Ribbon approached with intimacy. But when he entered into a room, his haggard and suspicious looks were so striking, his inward shuddering so visible, that his sister was at last obliged to beg of him to abstain from speaking, for her sake, a society which affected him so strongly. When, however, remonstrance proved unavailing, the guardians thought it proper to interpose, and fearing that his mind was becoming alienated, they thought it high time to resume again that trust which had been before imposed onto them by Aubrey's parents. Desirous of saving him from the injuries and sufferings he had daily encountered in his wanderings, and of preventing him from exposing the general eye those marks of which they considered folly, they engaged a physician to reside in the house and take constant care of him. He hardly appeared to notice it, so completely was his mind absorbed by one terrible subject. His incoherence became at last so great that he was confined to his chamber. There he would often lie for days, incapable of being roused. He had become emaciated. His eyes had attained a glassy luster, the only sign of affection and recollection remaining displayed itself upon the entry of his sister. Then he would sometimes start, and seizing her hands with looks that severely afflicted her, he would desire her not to touch him. "Oh, do not touch him! If your love for me is aught, do not go near him." When, however, she inquired to whom he referred, his only answer was, "True, true." And again he sank into a state whence not even she could arouse him. This lasted many months. Gradually, however, as a year was passing, his incoherences became less frequent, and his mind threw off a portion of its gloom, whilst his guardians observed that several times in the day he would count upon his fingers a definite number and then smile.